That brings us to our fifth objective. God's grace settles. God's grace settles. The subtitle for today's message is Settled on the Inside. Settled on the Inside. Turn your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 5. Church, God's grace, it doesn't just strengthen us. It doesn't just sustain us, but it settles us on the inside. What do we mean by that word settle? Settle has a lot of different definitions. But for the purpose of tonight's teaching, settle means this. Settle means to come to order or rest. To come to order or rest. Settle means to be free from distress or disturbance. To be free from distress or disturbance. Here's a very interesting definition of settle. To settle means to gain emotional or mental control. To gain emotional or mental control. And it means to become resolved and established. Settle. It means to come to order or rest. To be free from distress or disturbance. To gain emotional or mental control. It means to become resolved and established. See, it is wonderful that God's grace strengthens us. And it is marvelous that God's grace sustains us. But when new challenges come on the scene, and how many of you know that every day it just seems like there's a new challenge that comes on the scene? When a new challenge comes on the scene, God's grace will settle us on the inside. Cause us to be at rest. When new challenges come on the scene, grace will cause us to be free from anxiety and distress. And God's grace will enable us to have emotional and mental control. Even when our flesh says, you just want to let it all go. Grace enables us to be resolved when we face something new. It helps us to be fixed on the inside. And that is so very important in our life. We are realizing the significance of the power of grace in a Christian life. Because, see, if you are settled on the inside, you can live as a Christian ought. And you can do it even under extreme hardship and suffering. But when we are unsettled on the inside, even the small challenges of life keep tripping us up. Church, we have to be settled on the inside. See, when I am unsettled on the inside, this is what happens. I am unable to think correctly consistently. If I'm not settled on the inside, I cannot consistently think correctly. See, that's what you learned last week in understanding graceless living. We don't think correctly. So all that needs to happen is the adversary just needs to nudge us. That's all. Just nudge us a little bit. And when he nudges us a little bit, we're just gone. Our thoughts start to bounce all over the place. See, many of us, we can quote what we have been taught. We can recite what we have been taught, but we are not rooted in what we are taught. Amen. So when the adversary nudges us, our mind starts bouncing. It's just bouncing. We start bouncing all over the place. We go first to the past, even though the past is over. And even the way I remember the past is not even correct. Every time I go back to the past, I keep adding stuff to it. I add stuff to the story. I add stuff to the offense. I add stuff to what happened to me and how innocent I was. We go right to the past. The past is over. Then we bounce to imaginations. Remember what we said imaginations are? Mental movies. We start to create a movie in our head as if that thing is real. We start to even respond to what is in our head, and none of it has happened. So we bounce from the past to our imaginations. Then we bounce from there to what I call the trash heap. That's where we bounce to the trash heap in our mind. The trash heap is that place of worthless thinking. Has absolutely no value. It stinks, and we know it does. It's no good, and we know it's no good. It's that thinking that causes us to doubt God. It is that thinking that causes us to be hateful towards others. It is that thinking that causes us to loathe ourselves, start tearing ourselves down and talking down about ourselves and about what we're not and what we can never be. That's what happens when we are not settled on the inside. And when I'm not settled on the inside, not only is my thinking incorrect, but I'm unable to gain control over my emotions. One of the ways we know that we're not settled on the inside is we cannot gain emotional or mental control over ourselves. My feelings and my emotions are easily triggered. I'm always getting worked up by life, and it's hard to calm me down. See, I am unsettled on the inside. I'm not in a place of rest. I'm not in a place where I am resolved, where I have boxed my thinking in. This is how I think, and that's it. I'm all over the place. And the problem is, if I cannot think correctly through hardships, insults, distress, persecution, and if I cannot master my emotions, then I have no resolve. I have no resolve. What are you saying, Pastor? I can say out of my mouth, Lord, I love you, and I'm going to go all the way with you. But the reality is I won't, because I have no staying power. And it's only a matter of time before my ungodly thoughts and my out-of-control emotions do me in. It's just a matter of time. It's only a matter of time before I get caught up in some bad behavior, caught up in some bad decisions. It's only a matter of time before I abandon my commitment to God and I backslide into my old life and find myself out of position. Church, we have to get settled on the inside. If we're going to live as Christians ought, we must allow God's grace to settle us, to calm us down on the inside, to when those new situations come, free us from distress and anxiety. We must allow grace to enable us to gain emotional and mental control. We have to allow grace to stabilize us and fill us with resolve. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, we're going to look at verse 10 and 11. Peter wrote this epistle to address suffering. He wrote to these Christians who were suffering, and they were becoming discouraged because of the suffering that they were enduring. And so his goal was really to give them some practical ways of handling the trials and tribulations of life. Mm-hmm. So in 1 Peter, he does that. He gives them practical instructions. He talks about submitting to authority. He goes through and he talks about casting all of their cares upon the Lord. He talks about being sober and vigilant, because the adversary is walking about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And in verse 10 and 11 are his benediction for the church. It is a closing prayer. Let's read. It says, verse 10, "But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. In this scripture, what Peter is doing is he is praying over the church. He is praying for the work of God's grace to be completed in their life while they are suffering. The first thing he does is he acknowledges that God is the God of all grace. In other words, all blessings and favor come from God. And as he prays, he acknowledges that the grace of God, God in his graciousness, saved us. Because he says he called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus. And after that, he goes on to pray for this specific work of grace to take place in the life of the believers. And the interesting thing is, he says, after you have suffered a while. In other words, he acknowledges you're going to suffer. Things are going to happen. We know that. So since we know that you're going to suffer, after you have suffered a while, the God of all grace, my prayer and my desire is that he will make you perfect. Amen. That word perfect means I want God to make you everything you ought to be by his grace. That's what Peter is praying. But he doesn't stop there. He says this work of grace that he is praying for, he says, and that the God of grace in his prayer would establish them. Yeah. That is, make you firm in your mind. Mm-hmm. That is a work of grace that I'm praying for, church. Then he prays that they would be strengthened. That word strengthened means to be made strong in soul. To be made strong in soul. In other words, to be strong in handling your emotions. So he's praying for this work of grace. I want God by his grace to make you perfect, everything you ought to be. And I want him to establish you, make you firm in your mind, and strengthen you, strong in your emotions, and settle you. And that word settle literally means to lay a foundation in them. To lay a foundation in them. In other words, I am praying that God's grace would give you something on the inside, something that you can stand on, something that you can rest in, something that's gonna stabilize you. So why? So you don't waver in your faith. This is his prayer. It is the work of grace. Church, we have learned God's grace will make us everything we ought to be. Because it sanctifies, it strengthens, and it sustains. But God's grace will settle us. That is, make us firm in our mind, able to handle our emotions. It will stabilize us and give us a foundation which we can stand on. So how does God's grace settle us? That's the question we want to answer. Now, you're going to be surprised at the answer that I'm going to give you. How does God's grace settle us? We become settled on the inside when we remember what grace has already done. We become settled on the inside when we remember what grace has already done. See, we like to wait for an answer where God's going to do some more stuff for us. But we have to remember what grace has already done. See, I have come to understand, unfortunately, that even after God has been gracious to me, I can be unsettled. I can experience God's grace one day and find myself an emotional wreck the next day. And church, sometimes we experience miraculous grace. We go through things and we say, I know that I know that I know that the only way this thing happened is that God did this for me. We experience miraculous grace, and yet after that experience, we find ourselves in emotional turmoil over life's everyday challenges, not even the big challenges.